All right. Who's in for a talk on abundance this morning? Yeah, I'm feeling abundant. So let's talk about it. You know, we want to keep revisiting these topics that we just drill in this course curriculum, right? Abundance being one of the primary ones, because our recognition of abundance is what dispels the myth, the illusion of lack. Yeah, so we're not trying to get rid of lack. We're not trying to get rid of even our belief in lack, really. We're just trying to see the truth of abundance. And the truth of abundance is inseparable from the truth of oneness, right? There's no abundance outside of oneness. There's only separation and lack. So in oneness, what have we been talking about oneness as? Everything existing in relationship, yeah? So that must mean abundance only exists in relationship. So as we, you know, we've gone through Master Your Mind, we listen to the lecture on lack. It resonates, it feels true in our being, but we may still go on living with some lack beliefs, you know, filtering through our life. We may still be acting out our belief in lack for quite some time, which is to be expected as we're gaining mastery over that part of the mind, right? As we're untraining the old patterns and retraining the new patterns based on truth, it will take some time to integrate that, but we do need to start paying attention, nevertheless, to the ways in which we are acting out the belief in lack. And so I want to give you a good framework for this. We have to know that abundance is the truth, whether we like it or not, like whether we're living in alignment with the truth of abundance, whether we're acting out abundance, or whether we're living in the illusion of lack. Abundance is going on with or without our participation, right? It's an inescapable law of the universe. It's the law of oneness. So it's always going on. So we can either choose to participate in it. We can invite ourselves to the dance and dance with the universe, the endless flow of giving and receiving, or we can continue to deny ourselves from abundance by not being in loving relationship to it, right? So like when we talk about this idea that abundance is all that there is, let's just make this really practical, right? We can get really fancy when we talk about, you know, the metaphysics of abundance versus lack. We can nerd out, we can get, you know, high philosophical, but we don't need to because it is the truth. And so it actually should be very easy to see and very simple to us. You know, it's an understanding that doesn't have to be complex at all. So in that light, for the sake of simplicity, let's just refer for a moment to everything in the material universe as things. Let's just call them things. So we live in a universe of things, right? Form, objects, things. Would anyone deny that we live in a universe of things? That's our experience, right? So because the whole universe is just a bunch of things, we have to ask the question, are there any not things in the universe? Like, are there any non-things existing alongside of things? Everything that exists, every object, is just a representation of abundance, right? Abundance and infinity are synonyms. Abundance is another word for infinity, and vice versa. So we already agree that the universe is infinite, right? We even science agrees that the universe is infinite. So if I said to you right now, point to a thing, you know, you can literally point in any direction and you're going to point to something, right? There's always a thing there to be pointed at. Point me to a thing. Boom. Evidence everywhere. Everywhere I look, there's things permeating my surrounding. What if I said, point to a non-thing? Point to a not thing. How would you do that? How are you going to point me to a non-thing? In this simplistic example, we see what the belief in lack really is from a different perspective. The belief in lack is literally the belief in non-things, right? If you believe that lack exists, you believe that non-things exist. And if you say that, if that's your belief, you've got a problem, because I'm gonna need you to show me some evidence, just one piece of evidence that a non-thing exists. Can you give me a single quality of a non-thing? How, can you measure a non-thing? Can you put it on a scale? Can we quantify how much energy is contained within a non-thing? We can't apply any single objective measurement to a non-thing, because there are no such things as non-things. There's only things. We live in a universe of things, which is synonymous with saying a universe of abundance. So everywhere you look, all you're ever seeing is abundance. Everything is a symbol of abundance. Everything is a potential arising from the infinite field, right? So abundance is all that there is. This isn't a nice phrase. This isn't a feel-good message. This is science, right? This is fact. We don't ever see something called lack. Has anyone ever captured lack, put it in a bottle, put it on display at a museum so we can go take a tour of lack and see what lack really looks like up close? So if abundance is all that there is, everything is just a symbol of abundance, and if everything exists in relationship, then there's only what I'm not in relationship with, right? There's no such thing as lack. But think about this practically. Abundance doesn't mean that every single thing in the universe should be sitting on my lap at all times forever. That's not how abundance works, right? We have to be a little more nuanced in our approach to these metaphysical laws. Abundance doesn't mean that I have in my physical possession every object I could ever want right now. They're all out there in the infinite field of abundance, but the universe lets us choose what we want to experience in that abundance. Like, you can live a whole life, and if you don't want to experience any particular part of abundance, let's say you're never interested in having the experience of abundant finances in this life. You're perfectly happy to just live below your means and live a frugal life. No problem, right? Equally valid as being a billionaire. So the universe will not say, no, you have to have financial wealth. You're just telling the universe what you want based on what you're engaging in a loving relationship with. Who's tracking? I don't want to lose you guys. Are you really tracking with this so far? I want this to make sense, like in a childlike way. This shouldn't feel complex, right? Trying to make this very easy for us. Everything exists out there all the time, all at once, but there's only what you're in relationship to. Like, imagine the incomprehensible black hole that would be created if all objects in the universe were in a single point in space on my lap right here. It would just create a black hole that would suck everything into it, right? So much mass and density. So the universe has to be spread out so we can go out amongst it and explore it, right? And choose what we want. So abundance is all that there is, guys, but you will only experience the aspects of abundance that you intentionally engage in relationship with. So a poor person is just somebody who's not in a loving relationship to wealth. A sick person is just someone who's not in relationship to health. These things are simple, yeah? Universe won't force you to do anything. So it will just give you the opportunity to choose what part of oneness you want to experience. So this is why we say in module 5, I believe, only what I do not give can ever be lacking, right? There's no lack, there's just what I'm not giving. Why? Here's the important point. If you're taking notes, you want to write this one down. In giving and receiving, God is not the giver and you the receiver, right? Life is not the giver and we the receiver. That's not what giving and receiving means. It means God is both the giver and the receiver, and you are both the giver and the receiver. So we have to get out of this notion that we're just asking God to give us stuff we want. That's not how we communicate, commune with the divine. we first give the divine that which we want to experience more of. That's our communication, our hello over here, I want to experience wealth. You start giving wealth first. We're going to talk about what that looks like in a second. But once you give it, then the universe responds and says, oh, my child wants more wealth. Happy to give that. So the universe receives your wealthy thoughts, your wealthy actions, your wealthy mindset, your wealthy excitement, your wealthy desire, right? It receives those things from you. And that's a kind of gift to the universe, right? The universe experiences itself through you. You're the singularity point through which the universe is experiencing itself. So when you give those thoughts, feelings, actions, the universe will give you back their material reflections. Yeah? Basic law of attraction. So in giving and receiving, God is both the giver and receiver. So we must be just as interested in giving to the universe as we are interested in receiving from it. Let's assume that you're taking a private jet today. We all think about private jets as a wealthy experience, right? I've gotten to take one in my life and it was pretty epic. So let's say you're taking a private jet flight to Fiji or something. When you wake up in the morning, do you need a private jet to be sitting in your bedroom waiting for you to feel like you aren't lacking a private jet? Like, no, right? You don't even think about it that way. You just know that a private jet is waiting for you right when you need it. And so the moment you need it, you'll be in relationship to it. You get to walk down the aisle, see the private jet waiting for you. Ah, feeling of abundance and excitement. Thank you, universe. What a beautiful experience. You give that feeling back, the universe gives you a private jet. Like, this all just happens naturally, right? We don't think that something is lacking just because it's not in our immediate material vicinity. So in this way, financial success does not make us abundant. I want you to hang with me here. Financial success does not make us abundant. Financial success is just a demonstration of our abundance, right? We never make abundance true by demonstrating it. Everything in our life, health, wealth, happiness, love, these are just symbols of what's already true about us, right? We are here as divine ideas of God to act out our divinity, act out our abundance, our wholeness, our health, our love. So loving relationships in our life doesn't make us loving or abundant. It's a demonstration of the abundance and love in our heart, right? These things are all effects. The cause always comes from within. So only what I don't give can ever be lacking. Only what I'm not in loving relationship with can ever be lacking. Take a minute and breathe that in. And then we'll ask, okay, so then what do we mean by giving? This is always the question that you guys will come back with. What does it mean to give myself something I think I'm lacking? Kind of seems counterintuitive, right? If I didn't think I was lacking it, I wouldn't be all sad about it. So what do you mean, give me the thing I'm lacking? Give it to myself. Well, it's an important question to ask, right? But I want to dissect this giving onto these three levels of the ascension spiral: gross level, subtle level, causal level. We talk about the ascension spiral a lot because we want to be understanding that we exist, we are multidimensional beings. We don't just exist on one single level, but there's other levels and other levels to our actual self that we need to get acquainted with and understand so we can be in loving relationship in those areas. So we have gross body, subtle body, causal body, or body, mind, spirit. So if we exist on all three of those levels, don't you think we can give and receive on all three of those levels? Makes sense to me. So let's take the analogy of health. Let's say you're sick, you have an illness, or you're just not in a healthy state of body and you want to become healthy. Well, then you have to start giving health first, right? You can't just sit in an unhealthy body feeling like you lack health and expect for health to appear. You're not in loving relationship with it yet. So on the bodily level, on the gross level, how could we give health? And just, you can type stuff in the chat. How do we give health on a bodily level? Eat healthy, 100%. What else? Get good sleep. Exercise. Perfect. Get out in nature, right? Do things that are loving to the physical body, right? Now, if we're eating the foods that our body has evolved to eat, food from the earth, organic, natural, right? Then that's a loving relationship because that's the fuel the body has evolved from and out of. Literally, our body is made out of what we eat, right? And so the intelligence of nature in the body works a certain way. It has a certain kind of harmony and cohesion, right? So if I'm eating a bunch of heavy metals and chemical pesticides, it's not that those things are evil, right, or bad. They fit in somewhere in this universe. Heavy metals have a valid place where they belong in this universe. My physical body is not that place. My physical body didn't evolve from heavy metals, right? So putting lots of heavy metals in it is not very loving to it. It makes its job a little bit harder. It creates entropy in the body. So just from a practical level, we can begin engaging in loving relationship to the body by doing things that we know make the body's time easier. The body's like a 24/7 round the clock servant working on your behalf to keep homeostasis and balance, right? So if you're just like using the body as a pleasure seeking device, you're just eating, you know, junk food constantly and doing drugs and all this stuff. It's not that you can't do that if you want to, but if you realized what an unloving, kind of abusive relationship that is to the body, you really wouldn't want to do it anymore. People do that stuff because they're so dissociated from the body, right? They're so disconnected from the body that it's like, whatever. The body's just a means to an end for me to get some pleasure. And so that's not loving, right? So we can give health to the body on that level, obviously, right? Very simple. What about the mind? How do we give health to the mind? Type it in the chat. Meditate. Awesome. Loving awareness of our thoughts. Brilliant. Let the mind rest, right? Stillness, affirmations. Yep. Read. These are all ways we can give healthy thoughts to the mind, yeah? So if you want to be healthy on the subtle level, think healthy thoughts, yeah? Don't keep thinking about how unhealthy you are. Think about how healthy you really are. Picture your body healthy, full of vitality, right? Know that all health originates in the spiritual body, which exists in eternity in heaven. And so my awareness of that body will be the health I experience. So I can just think healthier thoughts. I can begin feeling how great it's going to feel when my body's healthy and vibrant, right? And that's giving health to the mind. And then what about the causal level, which is the spiritual plane or the karmic plane? This one may be a little bit trickier, but feel free to take a shot at it in the chat. How are some ways we could give health to the causal body? Good, Lisa, acceptance. Certain kinds of yoga, Christine, that's true. Everything is here to be loved. Breath work, serving others, very good. Serving others is a way we can give health to the spiritual body by giving health to others, because in spirit, all bodies are one, right? In spirit, everyone is myself. So by blessing and loving others, I am giving health to my causal body. I'm rejoining my spirit with all other spirits, right? That I've for so long felt disconnected and separate from. I'm beginning to join with the spiritual universe around me. Prayer, very good. Essentially what we're saying here is, when we talk about the causal level, we talk a lot about the catalyst journal. The catalyst journal is our way to begin healing the causal body, right? By seeing the life catalyst, the life lessons that's presenting to us, and choosing differently, choosing truly, right? So beyond service to others and trying to give health to others, what we can do is start paying attention to our life circumstances and say, where are my life circumstances showing me where I've been choosing sickness, right? So maybe the decision to do all those drugs, the decision to eat all that junk food all the time. Maybe now when I have a craving, this is a chance for me to make a new choice, to learn a new lesson so that I can heal my spiritual sickness. Yeah, my cravings, my karmas, the things that are weighing my soul down in this life. Those are my cravings, my addictions, and that's the kind of sickness of the spirit, right? There's no physical body for a spirit to be sick in. So the spirit is sick when it's loaded with karma, right? when it's loaded with burdens, addictions, habits, negative patterns of behavior. These are the ways that we create a sick causal body, and we heal it by healing our karma in that area. So healing your karma around health in the body would be one way to heal, to give health into the causal body. So we can give on all three of these levels, right? And we should be paying attention to these levels as our day is going on, because really many decisions we're making a choice to heal at all three levels, right? It's really great for you to make a new dietary pattern that's healthier because you want to help give love to the physical body. That's great. But what if you could be aware also of the thoughts you're thinking about it, making sure that those are positive, loving thoughts about health? And then what if you could see the life test being offered to you to transcend your addiction, and you're engaging with it on that level as well, right? You're recognizing the karmic pattern here that you're transcending. If you're doing all three of those things while you're eating a healthier diet, you're giving health on the gross, subtle, and causal level all at once. So our giving can be multidimensional and instantaneous, right? Every moment we make the choice for health and wholeness on any level, but all three levels, that's what we're giving, right? And then the universe will receive that gift, say thank you, and give us back the physical health that we feel is lacking. So there's never lack, there's just what I'm not giving. And that's what we mean when we say that, right? Give to yourself or give out what you feel you're lacking, and then you'll have that thing. Giving is the proof of having. If I'm given something, it must mean I possess it at some level. So this is the practice of abundance. In any moment where your ego is trying to tell you that you're lacking something, the practice of abundance is immediately when you notice that, give the thing that your mind is telling you you're lacking right then and there. Don't let a moment pass by any longer than it takes to change that lack belief into a reflection of abundance, right? So if the ego tells you you're lacking money because, you know, a bill comes in the mail or an invoice comes in the mail and you're like, oh, I got to pay this much money. That's a lack thought. You notice, oh, hey, that's a lack thought. And you just invert it, right? And say, oh, I'm so glad I get to give this person all this money. I hope and pray this money will bless you, my friend. And now you're giving. And then you say, I'm so grateful this is a chance for me to trust in the abundant universe that I live in. To my mind, it seems like a lot of money, but to my spirit, that's a silly idea. There's no a lot of money in a universe of abundance, yeah? So you can just reframe it like that and just give out an abundant thought in that moment. And then you're practicing abundance each and every day. And every lack thought is like an opportunity to retrain your mind, to think truly, to have true perception, right? And then here's the final point to put a bow tie on this conversation. In the practice of abundance, let's never make the mistake of believing that we're making abundance so. The point we emphasized a minute ago. Let's make sure that even though we're practicing abundance, don't slip into the mindset that you're making abundance real because you're practicing it, right? We do not practice abundance in order to make it true. We do not practice abundance to create an abundant life. We become aware of the abundant life already at hand. And then it begins to demonstrate itself in symbols in my life. The symbols of abundance will be there if my awareness of abundance is there. So I've got to start thinking abundant thoughts, right? So our demonstration of abundance, health, wealth, relationships, anything, does not create it. It reflects it, yeah? Let's say it this way. We never turn a universe of scarcity into a universe of abundance. We never turn a universe of scarcity into a universe of abundance by our faith in it. The universe is already abundant, right? So we never have to work for it. There's no effort actually involved. We never have to work for the truth to demonstrate itself. Honestly, we don't even need a correct understanding of it, truthfully. Truth only requires our love, our devotion, and our trust. Truth only asks for our love of the truth, our devotion to the truth, and our trust in the truth. By being in loving relationship to all things, at all times and all circumstances, we are demonstrating our love of the truth, yeah? You would only be in a loving relationship with anything because you first love truth. Because the truth of the universe's oneness, we engage in loving relationship with everything. If oneness wasn't true and separation was true, we wouldn't be engaging in loving relationships, would we? It's because it's true that we do it, not the reverse. So this gift will always be given back to us. Whatever we give will always be given back to us in the form of whatever increases our love, our joy, our devotion to the truth. So just give your love, give your devotion, give your trust in the truth of abundance by acting on it, by thinking about it, by meditating on it, by giving it as often as possible. Give your love to the truth of abundance, and then watch the ways that abundance begins symbolizing itself in your life.